Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to begin in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed." Let's begin reading in verse number 1 together. Ready? Begin. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. For the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman." Let's keep going, by the way, to verse number 13. I didn't tell you. Ready? Begin. "And the serpent said unto the woman,
Ye shall not surely die, for God hath known that in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Here is Adam, and here, and thank you for reading. Here is Adam, and here is Eve. They are placed in a perfect surrounding. The garden that God made, no sin. A perfect situation. And then one day, all of that in a moment's time was shattered with sin. And all of us have been there. All of us would like to have a redo day. And this week, you could shatter your entire life with one foolish, sinful decision, and so could I. We're not exempt from what Adam and Eve did. Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect environment. But in that perfect environment, they said, we still want our own way. They were given a free will, a free desire. Otherwise, man would have just simply been a robot, and we would have worshiped God as robots. But he gave us that free will. And because sin came first, not to the church, not to the country, but it came to the castle. If we're going to see revival, I believe revival must come not to the country. We pray so often for this country should come back to God. And thank God for that. But long before the church is the castle, your home, my home. It's there that Satan decided to attack. And if we're going to experience revival, it has to be through the home. This church, to have revival without your home having revival, is not revival. This morning I was speaking on the subject of revival. It's a returning to God. It's a recognition of sin. A repentance or a turning from that sin with a renewed desire to serve God. And I want to say tonight that we must have revival in our homes, in our marriages, in our parenting, and the way children obey their parents, with our siblings respecting one another, with our single parents, with our single adults, with our widows and widowers. You still can have revival, though you're the only one. Draw the circle, jump inside it, and say, I'm a widow, I'm a widower, but I'm going to have revival in my home. I think of a sweet woman that I've known for so many years, older than I am. Someone greased that door this week. Write it down. I asked you last week, somebody, please get that done. And that sounds rude, but we can't have that, please. I'm sorry. But please, I say this because I lost my train of thought because I felt like I treated you rudely, and I don't want to treat you that way. Just someone write it down and grease that door, oil that door, do something with it. Amen. I feel awful. I felt like I was short with you. I don't mean to be that way. But I'm ticked off. No, I'm not ticked off. Open that door and make sure I heard the right sound. Was it that door right back over there? We okay? All right. Let me pray. Our Father, I don't feel very good right now. I want to be so kind to these people. And I feel just right there. I was a little short with them, and I don't want to be that way. And God, you convicted me, and I pray that you just help us as we think of this subject of revival in the castle. Lord, how sad that some men, perhaps listening, perhaps maybe even this very auditorium, are not kind at home. How sad for some wives are not in this thing of the family. We live in a day, it seems like we're all into the gym and the workout and the Starbucks and the play and the fun. Oh, the home is in such dire need of revival. Brothers and sisters and sisters and sisters and brothers speaking kindly to one another, respectful to one another, honoring mother and daddy. And we understand that's a lifetime. We leave mother and father. We read it. I know we do leave mother and father. But we're always commanded to honor our parents. Not to believe we don't even believe in life, but we'll honor them in their death. Help us to keep a good name going for our family. Bless these moments together as we speak about revival in the castle, in our homes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, please. As you turn to chapter 13, we know it's the love chapter. I don't plan to be very long tonight, but I do plan to give us some thought of this truth tonight. Love has to invade our homes. This is our 45th year of marriage, and I keep thinking I've been married longer to my wife than her mother lived. And she left 8 kids in death. And I'm so very grateful for the many years we've been married. There's one person on this planet I don't ever want to ever please to hurt. It's my wife. I thanked him yesterday afternoon at a late afternoon staff meeting. I saw Brother Poussin yesterday. I had an appointment after soul winning, and then was in my car making a phone call before I left to go out again. I saw Brother Poussin walking with his wife to go soul, and then they led a lady to Christ who was baptized today. And I saw them walk, and I saw her as I was on the phone and my hands free in my car in the parking lot grab her husband's arm. And it seemed like he just sort of, I'm sure he did not, but it seemed like he just straightened up. And she grabbed his arm, and they walked to their car. It's an old car. I wish someone would buy him a brand new one, but it's an old car. We keep it running half the time he does, but I wish he had a new one, or newer. And then I watched him as he came over to this side and very kindly waited for her to open the door. I guess they've been married 25, 6 years, 7 years. I hope you treat your wife that way. I was convicted. I said, Lord, do I treat my wife that way? Am I always respectful to her? The absence of the home is this thing of love. How in the world, would you please tell me how in the world you could talk back to your mother and dad? How in the world can you just smart back to your mother and smart back to your dad and talk back and correct your mother and make life miserable to your mother and your dad? What gives you the right? I tell you what, the absence of love. What makes us think that we can yell at our wives? And what thinks we can nag at our husband and yell at our husband? What gives us the idea we can just sort of all shut down and be quiet in the house? What gives us the right when we grow up to break our parents' hearts? You kids, as you grow up and you go to college now and then the next phase and you get married in life, you stay close to your mother and stay close to your dad and honor your dad. Honor his name and honor your mother. I wish I could go back and be a better son, but I tell you what, that sweet dear, I don't say it disrespectful, old man at 93, and that dear sweet old, I don't mean it disrespectful, elderly lady at 91 who just died recently this last year, year and a half, 2 years, as they died, I tell you what, I wish I could have been, but no regrets. I mean that, no regrets. I never yelled back at my dad. I never yelled back at my mother. I wish I could have been better at them, but I tell you, I love those people. Those days when they lost the driver's license. No, I had no time on Saturday afternoon to take an hour and a half of my time to take my mother to the hairdresser to get her hair done. But I tell you what, it was the thrill of my life. I want to honor that lady. And then I saw her all curled up for that last month in that same bed where my dad died a year later. I saw her curled up in a little fetal position, just withering away to nothing. What are you kids thinking? Some of you are making plans right now to destroy your dad and destroy your mother because you want to be free from them. I don't understand you. Some of you have been raised in a good Christian home, a dad and a mom, perfect, no, but good people, they love you. There are people in this room that wish they had the upbringing you had. Wish you had it. Most adults never went to a teen camp. Have no idea what a teen camp is about. You've been to all of them. Most adults here have never been to a youth conference unless it's here as an adult. They have no idea what a youth conference. Most adults have never gone, as you're going to near San Francisco this week, Daly City, to a youth revival. Never got on a bus and did that. You're so blessed. And then you want more. Got to be free from my mom and dad. You know, I got to make my own name. No, you don't. You've been given a name. You have a heritage. And I was reading in Numbers this week that everyone stood by their standard. Here's the flag we posted. This is our family name. Don't dishonor your mother and daddy. Ever. I'm old. My parents were old when they died. Now, when I looked back, I think, good night. I used to think they're old at my age. But I'm not going to, by the grace of God, dishonor their names. They lay in the ground in Santa Maria, California. Their names are on those markers. My dad's name, my mother's name. But they're going to continue to lay in my heart till the day I die. And by the grace of God, I don't want to dishonor it. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity or this thing of love, I've become a sounding brass and a tickling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith, all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Verse 4. Charity, love, suffereth long. What does that mean? It means that love is patient. Well, you have to understand, I'm an Italian. It's just what we Italians are. I'm a German. That's what I am. I'm a German. That's how we are. Don't blame it on your pedigree. When you're not patient with your children, you're snapping back at them. You're always so harsh, male or female. Well, you always have a smart remark back to your mother or dad. So whatever it is, that's not patient. Charity, love, envieth not. Secondly, envieth means I'm not gonna desire what you have. Sometimes in the very home, siblings get jealous of because this one can do this and this one can't do it. I missed. It's kind. Secondly, it's kind. Are you kind in the home? Is there free from envy? And charity vaunteth not. Number four, vaunteth not. It's not boastful. It's not puffed up. It's not conceited. Verse 5. Read it with me. Ready? Begin. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thank you. So he says there's several things there. He says it doth not behave itself unseemly. What is that? That means it's not rude. If we're going to have a revival, it needs to begin in the home. And love is the foundation. And people that love one another are not rude to one another. Where do we get this stuff of telling one another off in the home? Where do we get this stuff of telling off your adult mothers and dads and mother-in-laws and father-in-laws? Where do we get that stuff? I said in this church many times, you young kids, you've got a mother or a father or mother-in-law and father-in-law. You don't like them and you don't want to get along with them. You don't have much longer to put up with us. We'll be dead. I don't mean that negative, but we'll get out of your way. You probably will have decades and decades and decades without us. But while those parents and in-laws are there, get along with them. It might mean that you have to sew your lips together. But don't be rude in the home. Don't be rude to your sister. Don't be rude to your brother. Oh, we must have revival, but it doesn't need to start at North Valley Baptist Church. It needs to start in your home and in my home. And he says, does not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude, there's courtesy. Seeketh not her own. I have my rights. Seeketh not his own. Is not easily provoked. Does not get irritated. Well, I had a hard day at work. I know, we all do. Well, there's been traffic. I know, we all do. Well, I'm under pressure. Well, we all have it. Just because we have pressure from the outside doesn't mean we've carried into that home. Those were happy days. They still are going home to just one person now. We had children. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Weren't those happy, wonderful days to have kids in the home? I'd drive up and we'd play basketball every night. Or pitch back and forth every night. Or toss the football, whatever the season it was, whatever it was, just to be with the kids. And then that evening dinner, and still a big dinner for the two of us. But that evening dinner, we're all around the table. And not bickering and fighting and talking about the school and anything negative. Just being together as a family. I envy you young couples. There's not a grandparent here, adult here that has the kids raised that does. They don't envy you. Those were sweet days for us. We had children in our home. The Bible says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. When a person thinks no evil, they're not entertaining evil thoughts toward one another. That's so important in a church. It's so important in a home. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Why are we so prone to rejoice when we hear people do wrong? I said this recently on the radio, or I may have said it here a week or two ago. I remember hearing a preacher say when they were trying Bill Clinton for being immoral. And that Baptist preacher said, and I agree with him, he said, I hope it's not true. Other preachers, and they didn't like his agenda. That's the way he lives. I don't know. And he said, oh, I don't want his wife or his daughter to have to hear that. Why do we rejoice in iniquity? Because we're trying to cover our own iniquity. Remember David? That little story, that little wee lamb. And he said, that man who took that little lamb, he's going to die. And Nathan said, thou art the man. You took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. One of the hallmarks of this church, we've not been a church that rejoices in iniquity. But rejoices in the truth, beareth all things. That's the idea of an umbrella. You have problems, come up under my umbrella. I'll give you shelter. Home should be a place of shelter. Believeth all things. That's the absence of suspicion. Hopeth all things. That's optimism. Endureth all things. That may remain strong. And verse 13, and now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. My challenge to each of us tonight is to be released to our homes this evening and put love in the home. We had family devotions. I never thought I was very good at it, but we had them. I think most dads feel that way. I was just never good at it. I tried. I worked at it. I just don't think. I tried the proverb of the day, psalm of the day, children's Bible stories. I tried the daily breads, the same one my dad brought me up on. I tried it all. When I say that, my kids would always say, Dad, don't say that. We look back, those were great days, family Bible time. We never had family devotions on Wednesday and Sunday. We were in church all day. I didn't want to have my kids feel like I was just shoving something down them all the time, but we always had prayer. Sometimes we'd get in late at night. We had been out doing something, and we did not have family devotions, but I always had prayer with those kids. Sometimes they were already in their bed, and I'd go by their beds and have prayer. I'm sure my wife did as well. It's not much what we do even today, but every night we'll have prayer tonight. Some of you will probably come before the throne of grace, whatever needs you might have that we know about. But our homes are going to have to introduce prayer back into our homes, personally and collectively. Pray for your children. Oh, they're all grown now, but their names all came before the throne of grace today. And they come before the throne of grace. And the grandkids, and all the grandkids that are saved, and the little grandkids that are still lost every day, and pray for their salvation. Do you know how the devil would like to destroy our children, even as adults? Are you praying for your marriage? People that begin to pray for one another, begin to love one another. Are you expressing it every day to your family? Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. If we're going to have revival in this country and in the church, it's going to have to begin in the castle. Mama, you're going to have to love what you're doing. As you work so hard and cleaning and fixing and ironing and all that you do and making meals, you're going to have to whip those potatoes with the joy in your heart that I get to do this for these children. You're going to have to bake that bread and think, I get to do this for my family. In a little while tonight, I'll be able to sit down with my children at a table and be able to have that fresh bread or that warm this or whatever it is that you made. But there has to be a revival of the home. Your children have to hear you speaking very respectful to mother, your wife. Our homes are filled with narcissistic people. We talk to our mate through our children. That's narcissism. We change the target all the time. Our kids live in fear. Everything's suspicious about them. I'm all for rules. Good night. I have rules about everything. But God said you can govern an entire nation with 10. I'm not suggesting we have to have a lot of rules. We must enforce what we have. Tonight, your home is important. Our Father, I think I just believe right now I preached enough tonight.